people around the world. Sync your smartphone to your Bluetooth with your earpiece on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solitaire. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds. Now, come on baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd Up!
All right, it's time once again for another Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson.
I'm Isaac Wilson.
And we're here to talk all about all things nerdy. And first of all, we'll start out, we just got back from the Eagle Theater here in Robinson, and now showing at the Eagle Theater and the Clintonia Theater in Clinton, Illinois, Ender's Game. And, I'll tell you what, it was a lot of fun, that's for sure. I read the books, or read the, well, the first book, Ender's Game, and then I've read some of the prequel books that Orson Scott Card has written, and so I was kind of prepared. You haven't read any of the books, have you?
Nope.
Okay, so, well, I'm going to let you, going into a fresh perspective, I'm going to let you start out the podcast with, give me a review of the movie and let me know what you thought and what your favorite parts and all that other good stuff.
Well, to be honest, I honestly thought since I just read the title it was going to be something like Hunger Games but with aliens in space.
Oh, yeah.
And when I also originally saw the title, you know, I thought of an Enderman from Minecraft. But, you know. But in all reality, it was a really good movie. I don't know if it matched up to the books or not, but we'll get that.
I'll tell you about that in a minute.
It's got good, you know, perspectives. It's really stunning to watch.
Yeah. Definitely the battle scenes and the weightless battles and even in the space.
Mm-hmm. And before the movie, I watched some behind the scenes on how they did, like, the anti-gravity training chamber or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't actually put on the suit. It was part of the green screen.
That's just weird. You were telling me that. The helmet?
Yeah, it was all, except the glass part, it was just, like, strapped around his body, kind of like a skin-tight green suit.
Interesting.
But I don't really know what else to say. I guess my favorite part had to be the music was kind of like the I Am the Doctor theme or whatever from Doctor Who, just really slowed down.
Yeah, well, it was very space-agey, that's it. What'd you think of Bonzo, the leader of the Salamander group.
You mean Bonesaw?
Bonzo.
Is it Bone?
Bonzo, yep.
Oh. I thought it was Bonesaw.
You're thinking of Spider-Man's wrestling.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is because since I heard it was Bonesaw.
Ooh, Bonesaw McGraw. Sorry.
I was going to say that whenever I heard that, I guess I didn't hear it right, but I was going to say that I heard it in my head as Bonesaw is ready.
Nope, it's Bonzo. In the book, I was thinking Bonzo as I read it, I believe, but Bonzo, and then when I heard the audiobook. See, I read the book back in the 80s when it first came out, and I actually read it in the Navy. One thing, I'll give you a little history on the book, Ender's Game, is that Marines are trained by reading this book. Some of the Marine training and tactics and stuff, that's how good the book was written. And the Marines use that as like a study guide, so to speak. Plus, I'm sure they enjoy reading it too. But there's a whole history about the training academy where the Marines go. I don't know where that is. I'm a Navy guy, not a Marine guy.
It's funny because you're old.
So, but anyway, they the Marines train on some of it because of some of the tactics used by Ender. And some of the morality, I guess, that he displays on whether they have the right to kill an entire species. And a little bit of a spoiler there, if you haven't read the book or if you haven't seen the movie, yeah, he kills a species, so to speak. But it's very, very, very intriguing from that aspect. Now, I did read recently, or listen to recently, the audiobook version. They had the, I can't remember, I think it's like the 25th anniversary edition where they did multiple voices. And it was a great refresher because I knew the movie was coming out and I wanted to read it again. But I thought, well, let me do something different with the audiobook. And the audiobook was just phenomenal. I've reviewed that on my website or on my blog, gilwilson.wordpress.com. So you can go check that out on there. I have a review of the audiobook on there. But all in all, they stayed pretty close to the book. I mean, this is one of those books that's very hard to make a movie out of. Because... And one of the things you're going to notice in the book, he's 6 years old when he first goes to battle school.
Mm.
And when he goes to command school, he's 16 years old. So 10 years pass. That's why it's so hard to do this. Now, they kind of showed some time, but you didn't know how much time. But it didn't seem like 10 years time passed because he's pretty much, you know, I would say he's, what, 10 years old? Maybe? Mm. Maybe 11?
I'm surprised no movie has done this yet, but like... Like you were saying, it's in kind of a yearly process.
Mm-hmm.
What if a movie like actually made it so it was him when he was younger and so on and so forth until he's older and just released the movie when he's finally old enough to be the final part of the book?
That'd be a TV series. Kind of like what they did with Smallville. But
well, yeah, but I mean, just film it over time yeah. so you don't exactly have to
put... Oh my gosh, can you imagine how many years... It would take, well, in this case, it would take 10 years to film the movie.
Well, it took like...
Well, that's kind of what they did with Harry Potter.
It took like 10 years to make Facebook, so I
mean... True there. So, well, let's see here. Let me talk about this aspect of the movie. Now, I will tell you, great actors in this. Harrison Ford, of course, as Graf, and I'm trying to fight off hiccups. But he really pulled off Graf perfectly. And then Maser Rackham was played by the Mandarin. I mean, Ben Kingsley. So that was cool to see that. I mean,
Is Maser Rackham the guy that sacrificed himself? Or whatever?
Yeah, he's the one that beat the Formics the first time around.
Oh. That's
the one with the tattooed face in the movie.
Now, I guess I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, he was the Mandarin. That's from the Iron Man 3 movie,
I guess that's
by the
why
way.
He looks so familiar.
Yeah, and exactly. And he had an Australian accent in this. And Maser Rackham, he's an interesting character in the book and, of course, in this movie. And I think they couldn't have gone with anyone else but Ben Kingsley. I think Ben Kingsley is just that stellar of an actor that he pulled that role off perfect. Because Maser Rackham, he's the one that kills the Formics the first time they invade. Now, there's a whole morality issue behind the movie, and I think they played it off great, or in the book, but in the movie they played it off great because basically it's genocide. He kills an entire, you know,
race?
Species.
Oh.
Yeah, more than just race, a whole species. And they, at the end, he finds out he's been contacted by, again, spoilers, he's contacted by the queen of one of the last queens surviving, and he's got an egg to protect that could be the last surviving. And of course, if you've read any of the books, you know the next book out after this one's called Speaker of the Dead, and he takes that egg and finds a home planet. But still, they bring out that morality of, first of all, they got children doing these games, and they just think it's video games, basically. And they come to find out, spoiler, it's a real war going on. So, I mean, how would you feel if you were playing a video game and all of a sudden you realize those ships you sacrificed were full of thousands of people? You know? And that's why, and they portrayed that well, the actor playing Ender really...
I'd blame it on the person who made me do it.
Yeah. I was just following orders, Ollie. Ollie North, you wouldn't know that, never mind. Anyway, you're too young. But, they really pulled that off. The whole aspect of, you know, Harrison Ford as Graf telling him, "You won. You've saved millions." He goes, "Yeah, but I've destroyed a species. I'll be forever known as a killer." No, forever known as a hero. So, see, that's one thing about that movie. It's got layers. It's like an onion. It's got layers upon layers.
I only think of Shrek whenever I hear that expression.
Like, what, stinky?
Anyway, you said the guy played the Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
Who was he again?
Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
Mazer Rackham.
You said he had an Australian accent in this?
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, in Iron Man 3, didn't he have, like, a British accent?
A British Cockney accent, yeah. Except for when he was portraying the Mandarin. I hated the way they did the Mandarin. I mean, I love the movie Iron Man 3, but the way they portrayed the Mandarin is like, no, he was a worse villain than that. But anyway, of course, maybe it could come out that he was faking. I don't know. But anyway, back to Ender's Game. So, it's kind of hard for me to pick a very interesting scene, but I will say I was very happy with their choice of actor and leader of the Salamander group, Bonzo, because that's pretty much how I pictured him, a short little guy, kind of Italian, mafia type guy, but young kid.
It was it's not exactly a spoiler, but he was played by the same person who plays, what's his name that runs the stand in Hannah Montana?
Yeah, what was his name?
Rico or something?
Rico, yeah. Yes. So yeah, Rico from Hannah Montana is, and he's well, put it bluntly, he's badass in this, you know? In the other one, he's kind of a jerk, but this one, he was a jerk, and he was kind of a tough guy, but he got his lesson taught. Anyway, I was very pleased because it looked exactly like I pictured when both reading the book and when listening to the audiobook, because it was that type of a personality. I mean, I didn't picture that actor, but I pictured someone that looked like him. So, because I didn't know that actor at the time when I read it in the 80s. But,
of course he didn't.
I don't know. I do like the battle scenes in the battle room where the people, the students, were the ships themselves, so to speak. And I really like the way they portrayed that and led up to the actual battle where they were leading battles in the games in the command school. So, and yeah, that's one other thing. Again, they didn't portray the time difference of 10 years from the book, but they did portray it as time did go by, and they were getting more mature as it went along. So I think they portrayed it well enough to where that's. And one thing I know, and every time a book is turned into a movie, people pick it apart piece by piece because, oh, that wasn't like the book. The book was better. Well, yeah, that's why you read books, because they are better and they could tell more of the story. But when you go see it in the movie, it's like, oh, cool, you know?
Except The Lorax was just completely different than
book. They did the same with Stephen King's Lawnmower Man. If you ever watched that movie?
No.
Okay, don't.
I've only seen it in
Wrangler. Yeah. Well, Stephen King's Lawnmower Man, the movie, is nothing like the book Lawnmower Man. So, they have absolutely nothing in common. Oh, wait, I think the guy has a lawnmower. That might be the same. I'm serious. That's how bad it is. There are times where they do ruin a good book like that, or a good story like that. But this time around, they got the story. They kept all the layers of the onion inside the story. And I'm sure, you know, like I said, people are going to pick it apart. There are always the fanboys that think they know better and everything. But Orson Scott Card, I read an interview and heard an interview too of him talking about making this into a movie. And he said he didn't see any way it could be done. And until finally one day he had an epiphany of putting together the book. I can't remember the Shadow something. It focuses on Bean as the main character, but it parallels the Ender's Game book, and it's told from Bean's point of view, and he combined the two books to make the movie, the screenplay. I don't know if that's the exact same screenplay. No, I don't think it was the same screenplay they used in this, but the idea was there. You could see that. And so I think that's how it finally was able to be made into a movie. And again, they covered the book well, and that's the best part about it. But, even if you don't read the book, which will be your loss, by the way. So, Isaac, you need to read it, too. But if you don't read the book, just go and enjoy this movie, because it was great. I mean, visual, stunning, like you said.
Hopefully that one guy, I forget what you said, but like, the guy that hated on Gravity or whatever, who picked the astronomer or whatever, that said her hair would flow freely in gravity.
Oh, right, yeah. The
hopefully he doesn't do that to this.
Yeah, there's a lot of anti-gravity non-hair flow. Well, they had helmets in this one. Their hair couldn't flow. Yeah, God, what was that physics guy's name? He later rebutted that. Said, no, it's a great movie. Is it? I just playing and picking apart. But what she was. But yeah, because of gravity, her hair didn't flow.
Hold on. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, that was basically... My favorite scene is kind of relating to that. But I loved the part where I think it was Bean who vomited. Or in the spaceship.
Was it Bean?
Or that other guy...
Yeah. No, it wasn't Bean. It wasn't Bean. Yeah, but you're right. Yeah, he vomited in space.
Just a tiny bit of vomit, and it was just like floating throughout the air, just being that like.
Really and then Han Solo comes in and says, "Close the bag." I mean, Harrison Ford, Graf. So it's cool seeing Han Solo in a movie. I mean, in a space movie again. Okay, Harrison Ford. But yeah, you're right because of the little balls of vomit, and then of course Ender was observing the. Anti-gravity, there is no up or down. Let's see, just some smart stuff going on in that movie. And in the book, too. So, again, read the book. Get the audiobook if you have to, or if you want to. Either way, you'll get the full effect and still not miss out on anything from the movie. But once again, we saw it at the Robinson Eagle Theater, and it's also showing at the Clintonia Eagle, which is in Clinton, Illinois. And, again, we thank the guys at Eagle Theater for, giving us this chance to talk about their movies in their theater. Plus, Isaac and I are still drinking our sodas. We finished our popcorn. We didn't go on a Thursday night, whereas bring your own container in. So, I like those when you bring your own. We bring in, like, 50-pound garbage bags.
Nah, we just bring in a bathtub.
Yeah.
But, hold on, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, if anyone out there, this is unrelated, but... Anyone out there becomes a movie producer, make a movie of Spider-Man for the N64 PlayStation 1.
You're stuck on that game lately.
It's a good game.
Well, I'm going to give you a chance to talk about that in a little bit.
All right, good.
Because we got to get to our gaming section of the podcast. But let's see here. So Ender's Game, worth seeing, definitely 5 stars. I thought it was just beautiful. Of course, reading the book, I went in there with high expectations, and they met them. I mean, I think they told the story. They kept with a good story that was already in Ender's Game. They didn't have to add anything to it. So that was the good part. So other movies coming up. Thor, The Dark World. You ready for that one?
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready. I'm so ready.
I'm so ready. My middle name is already based off of Thor.
Wonder how that happened. So we're going to be... Actually, we'll probably get in a preview version of that one if they... The way the theaters do anymore, they have their digital theaters, they have the keys that unlock the movie, and sometimes they're not released until the day of the release, so maybe we'll get in on a preview, who knows. But either way, Thor the Dark World, we'll be talking about that one next time. Also another movie coming up, the new Captain America movie.
Is that?
The Winter Soldier. That's coming up next year, spring of next year, I think May of next year, I'm not sure exactly. But they're going to have the Falcon in there. Yes,
made the trailer.
Yeah.
I forgot.
He was actually one of Captain America's sidekicks for a while, and he's also an Avenger. In fact, remember Ultimate Avengers, the cartoon on Disney XD?
Kind of.
He had the Falcon save everybody because, you know, when they were recruiting him.
He had the Falcon shave everybody?
Yeah, he shaved everybody. Hey, it's my first day with the new lips. I got to try them out. Anyway, so, yeah. That would be interesting, watching the Falcon shave everybody. Especially the Hulk, because Anyway, Falcon saves everybody in the cartoon when they introduce him into the Avengers. But anyway, in the Captain America movie, he's going to be wearing, of course, the typical... I don't know why they always do this. I mean, comic books are so great because of the colorful costumes. He's going to be wearing black leather, and I think it's going to be like metal wings instead of the feathers. So... Come on.
Kind of like RoboClock.
RoboClock? Yeah, okay. Now see who's talking around. Your first day of the new
RoboCop, lips. RoboCop, and he got the... they're basically putting them together or whatever in the trailer I saw. And then they're like, let's replace the white with black. Give him a slick coat of paint.
Yeah, see? That's what they do. Oh, they did it with the X-Men. Remember, the X-Men had all these cool yellow and blue costumes?
Oh, yeah.
And then in the movie came out, it was like black leather. And, of course, they actually kind of made a joke of it. Would you rather be wearing yellow spandex? So, I mean, they do that with comic book movies. They don't realize. Luckily, Spider-Man, they kept with his. They did modernize it a bit. and that kind of always bugged me, but they kept it colorful blue and red.
The old, like, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man costumes, I think that would still work better in the newer movies.
Well, see, the problem is, and that's one of the things I didn't like about the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies, although Tobey Maguire did an awesome job playing Spider-Man and Peter Parker.
Those facial expressions.
Yeah, there were certain things that, like webbing shooting out of his arms, and in this comic book, he makes his own costume, and some of the little 3D webbing stuff on this costume just didn't cut it. Now, they kind of did it in the new one, but not as much. They showed him actually making it, so. But anyway, all right, let's see. So those are the movies we're going to be talking about coming up, I'm sure. Let's move on to gaming. I'll talk about quick gaming. I was going to get with Brandon tomorrow, and we might have another podcast this week to put up, but basically, the idea is hopefully get Brandon talking about some comic books because he's been reading.
Finally.
Yeah, I know, right? But we got plans. We got dinners and stuff to go to, so we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens there. Anyway, yeah, plans always change whenever we try to work Brandon into it on our end, and it makes me mad. Anyway, but I'd like to get him in on the comic books because I haven't been able to keep up. I've only got up to issue number 7 of Superior Spider-Man, and they're already release number 12, so I'm way behind. So.
You don't deserve to be wearing that comic book cover shirt.
Because I haven't kept up. Superior Spider-Man has just really got me upset. So, anyway, but I will talk about games right now. Start off with Marvel Avengers Alliance, for those of you keeping up. That's my game. The latest Spec Ops they're doing, and it's based on the Thor movie. Somewhat, you got of the course. Dark Elves. Of course, yeah. That's the good thing about it is that as the movies come out, they can base it on there. But you can team up with Loki and also Heimdall, the Guardian of what is the name of the bridge?
Bifrost.
Bifrost. Gosh, I always forget that.
How do you forget that?
I don't know. But Heimdall is the hero that you can win in the Spec Ops, and they have, of course, the magnetic lockboxes, and you can get Loki as a hero, and because he helps out Thor in the movie, I'm sure that's why they tied it in. Now, he's also the movie version Loki in the game. He doesn't have the big horns.
I would have preferred it if he had the big horns like he does in the other Spec Ops where you actually fight him.
I know, because that's Loki.
What I just discovered yesterday when me and Joseph, my friend, went trick-or-treating and came back to my grandma's and played the Wii, I think Mario Kart Rainbow Road has to probably be based off of the Bifrost, because it's a rainbow road in space, and it also looks like it'd be kind of connected to Earth.
Oh, so maybe Mario is living in the Thor world. So, but anyway, back on the Spec Ops, it's very... One thing I don't like about Spec Ops, but I mean, it's not... I like it because that's part of the gameplay, but it takes so long, because you got to do the research. I'm about 3/4 of the way done with it already, and I think they launched it last week, so I'm not doing bad on it. So, but the heroes to recruit, kind of cool. Heimdall and Loki. I still haven't got Thane from the Thanos
lockboxes.
Yeah, well, they have. I forget what they call his lockbox. Inhuman lockboxes from when you were recruited Black Bolt in the Spec Ops. But they did release, they released almost all their Spec Ops heroes now are permanently recruitable. Before is like every once in a while they'd let you recruit them for a limited time. Yeah, now they're permanently recruitable, so you can get Emma Frost, Mockingbird, and all those others if you missed them.
Ghost Rider!
And Ghost Rider, yeah, he was so cool. We had to get him. But they've done a lot of changes with the game, and I think what it is because I know people like me, I had beaten the game and just basically waited for the Spec Ops because that's all I'd done because they were so slow in releasing the other chapters. So they finally, you know, released all the other characters in that aspect. Plus, they've released a new aspect of it in which you can get these little chips and they provide special powers to eat different characters or special powers to all the characters. And you start out at level 4 where you can put one of these chips in and then level 12 or 13, they've raised the limits now also on the highest limit highest level the hero can be is now level 13. So you can also, once you get level 13, you can unlock another slot for the chips. So anyway, they've done a lot of changes with it and they're making it a lot more playable for people. If you're just now getting started on it, you got a lot to play with. If you've been playing it for a while, they've unlocked these other aspects so that you can keep playing. And they're going to keep doing that. They've got more chapters to release. They got more spec ops. I've never been happy. The last PvP finished, and I was so glad it was over with because I didn't have to contend with it anymore because I hate PvP. I just cannot stand it. I've heard rumors. I don't know for sure, but I've heard rumors that there are cheaters out there that know how to cheat the system. And, well, I can almost guarantee it because I went up against one guy in a PvP battle. And when you're done with the battle, you can look at their heroes and stuff.
Yeah.
They had every hero, including the latest one that was in the Spec Ops that was only like 2 days old. They had that hero already.
You mean
at level 12.
Hold on.
This has been a while back, so.
Can't you train them within 2 days, though?
Nope, because it takes 24 hours to train one. Even at level 12.
Even if you're addicted to them later?
Yeah, because it takes 24 hours.
What about the training. Like, training for... Okay, that would take 1 day up, though.
Yeah.
What would take...
You have like an 8 hour period, you have a 16 hour period, you have 24, okay. And then you have, actually I think it's 36 hours for the final level. Oh. So there's some cheaters out there, and I think that's where that came from, because otherwise there's some computer issue. But either way, the PvP, because of that, and I saw he had every single hero available at that time at level 12, and I'm like, that's impossible.
As Deadpool would battle, he would whine on the forums, and then they would get nerfed and banned from PvP.
Exactly, and they should be. So I think Marvel has a bit of a cheating problem going on. Hopefully they'll get that fixed in the Avengers Alliance, but I doubt they can do it.
Why would you want to cheat on a Facebook game?
It's not a Facebook game. You can play it on playdom.com. It's a social game.
Why would you want to cheat on a social game?
Yeah, I know. It's like, why? Why bother?
Actually, why would you want to cheat on technically any game, considering it doesn't get you anything in real life?
I know. See? There's a lesson learned there. Glad you learned that lesson at this age. Anyway, all right, well, talking about more video games, what's your latest video game excursion?
Spider-Man for the N64 or PlayStation 1, whatever you prefer. Mm-hmm. But
which one's better, PlayStation 1 or N64?
The PlayStation 1, I would say, because the N64 doesn't have all the cutscenes and lines that the PlayStation 1 does. Because the N64, since it can't technically run that much full video capability, you know, it has, like, comic slides.
Right.
But the N64 has full motion video and voice acting.
You mean the PlayStation?
Well, PlayStation. And that last scene just cracks me up every time.
Or they're playing cards?
Yeah. And
I got a bingo! Ha ha! Yeah, the rhino.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, wait a minute, I made a mistake. And that's just the end of it. But recently I've been playing that and going over it. I put a playthrough link to my channel last time, didn't I?
Yep.
Okay,
yeah.
And,
by the way, on the Nerd Up Podcast website, nerduppodcast.blogspot.com, you can see there's a link to Isaac's videos of his gameplay and him narrating as he's getting beat or beating. I saw the Venom one today, and I saw there are times where he beat you too many times where you're chasing Venom.
Oh, yeah. Lost.
I saw you getting frustrated with that. But yeah, if you want to check those out, you can see his latest excursion. Anyway, go on.
Well, I don't have much to say about the game because it's been out for a long time.
Since before you were born, actually. Well, yeah. It was like 98, 99?
No, I'm pretty sure it was 2000.
Was it 2000?
That's what it said on Wikipedia, Spider-Man 2000.
Okay, so yeah, it was before, a little bit before you were born.
Just
so.
A tiny bit.
Yeah.
But overall, in that game, I can't technically spoil it because it's been out for too long.
Yeah, 13 years now.
Whenever you beat Carnage, his symbiote goes down to the defeated Doc Ock, then you have to run from Monster Ock, which is the most terrifying villain in any video game ever.
Think about it, the ingenious, mad scientist Doc Ock combined with the most evil symbiote ever, Carnage. Yeah, I mean, you're right. When that game came out, I'm like, who came up with this? This is cool.
Maybe Stan Lee himself. If that's the case, then he might be in a movie referenced earlier. Anyway, the Venom fights, those were always fun, because Venom has just, like, the most hilarious one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the PlayStation 1 cutscene, whenever you finally beat him at chasing him, whenever you're down there, he's like, Spider-Wuzz, come out and play. And then Spider-Man has his one-liner where he just hops on his back and says, tag.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, they kept with the true feeling of the comic books with that, because Spider-Man, very witty, and Eddie Brock as Venom, tried to be witty, but never. He was more of the lunkhead. But anyway, yeah, so why did you go back and start playing these games?
Oh, I just felt like I wanted to play an old game for a playthrough instead of, like, you know, one of the new ones that you'd probably see millions of videos of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, there's many videos of the old Spider-Man games, and old any games, to be precise.
Right.
But, to my next game topic, mm-hmm. I'm going to be on Team Fortress 2, the Halloween update.
Yeah, I knew you were ready to get your Steam wallet loaded up with more money so you can purchase stuff. What about that? What's going on with that?
There are so many new items, and they're all just hats, sadly, no new weapons. Oh. But, also the last update that gave you a weapon was like a year ago. So, we need new weapons, but,
wait a minute, okay, before you go, I know you're going to probably talk about it, but there's a Doctor Who reference in one of these masks.
Mm-hmm.
What's that one?
It's, one of the Pyro's masks is an astronaut helmet, and it's got basically, like, the skull
mm-hmm.
in it.
Mm-hmm. Who turned out the lights?
Yeah, and,
for you Doctor Who fans, they got Team Fortress 2 even referencing Doctor Who.
There was also references to My Little Pony in it, but...
No way, really?
I'll get on to that okay. later. But the new map is for Hightower, which is a map that pretty much every server never finishes, because it's always just too dang fun to play, you know, battling each other on the map, because it's so huge. But the new map for Halloween-based, it's called Helltower. Mm. And basically... If you read the Team Fortress 2 comics, Redmond Man and Blue Tarch Man are brothers, but they're complete rivals, and they pretty much hate each other, and that's where Red and Blue come from. They're just teams that they hire of mercenaries.
Blue Tarch and Red Man.
Hmm. And, so basically, Gray Man, their long-lost brother, kills them in the comics, and what you have to do is, if you're on Blue Team, you're working for Blue Tarch, whatever you want to say, and you're pushing... his brother's corpse, like, you're pushing it so it'll detonate, and so his brother will go to hell instead of him. But, it introduces so many new features, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, the voice of Blue Tark Man is the same voice that does Deadpool in the video games.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it sounds almost exactly like him.
I might have to look that up and see if it is.
But, like, it introduces spells, basically, which you can use using your action slot. And you've got a teleport spell, an invisibility spell, and you've got super spells, but there's way too many spells for me. Anyway, on to the My Little Pony-related items.
Yeah.
There's, well, one in particular. It's not technically, I mean, it kind of is, but not really related. Because it's got a few voice lines, and, basically, it's called the Magical Mercenary. It's just like, you know, a stock unicorn, pink mane, and yellow horn for all of the classes. And, the Scout, basically, and the Soldier reference it, because, whenever you go into battle, like, line responses that it replaces is the Scouts is in a Boston accent. I can't do a Boston accent because I'm bad at it, but friendship is freaking magic. And then the Soldier, he's like a army guy, lieutenant, whatever, and he basically says, friendship is magic, maggots. And then
great,
there's also the
more fuel for the bronies.
There's the heavy. He has a costume set called the Grand Duchess, and it's got, like, little fairy wings, little halo, crown, and a tutu. And one of his lines, it was last Halloween, though, but one of his lines is, heavy is magic fairy, friendship is stupid magic. But,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, there's so many new items. And
that's, they did this because of the, or during Halloween time.
Yeah, because they always have seasonal or holiday events.
Yeah, that reminds me. I know it's almost over here on the Avengers Alliance since you mentioned it. One of the things when you visit your allies, it is a social game. Yeah. You visit your allies around holidays, they have special items. And once again, Halloween, they brought back the taffy, the candy apples, and toothbrushes and stuff. But this year, since we'll go back to Avengers Alliance real quick here.
Okay.
This year, they before the like the taffy apple or the candy apple would basically just heal you. Now, not only it heals you, but it also brings down the stats of the other opposing team. So it's kind of cool they added more to those.
Doesn't it like replace all their buffs that aren't passive, like with debuffs or with?
There's one that does that, and I think that's the toothbrush. Was it or was it the candy apple?
I think it was a Halloween or special like marshmallow ghost.
Oh, that's it, the marshmallow ghost.
Yeah,
the marshmallow ghost, and it also gives you ethereal so that you can't be hit. So there's some really cool things. Now I don't know how long they usually do this, like 2 or 3 days late after the holiday. So get them now while you can. So yeah, I forgot about that. I had to mention that. Well, actually, let's move on. We're about done with the podcast here. Let's move on to television real quick here.
Okay.
I want to first talk about the latest episode of Supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
That was so cool.
Kind of watched a little bit of it from the side of my eye. But...
Well, while you're watching, playing Team Fortress, weren't you? Yeah, see? They brought Dorothy. Yeah, Dorothy from Oz. And basically, it was as if the L. Frank Baum books were... He wrote them about his daughter, Dorothy. And Dorothy was actually a hunter during the Men of Letters days of the 30s. And so what it was is she brought back the Wicked Witch... And they were trying to find ways to kill her because, you know, she was indestructible. And so the flying monkeys and everything were real in Oz. And they had the key to Oz. And so they brought back Charlie, the redhead. She was the LARPer in the LARPer episode. And she's been in several episodes. She's the one that wrote the books about Sam and Dean when they realized their life was based on books. So there's some interesting stuff in this one. And there's a... The whole aspect of Dorothy and Oz is real, and that she was a hunter, and the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion and stuff. It was really cool the way they played that, brought that in. It was a fun episode, but it's also still kind of a dark, scary one. And Crowley was helping the Wicked Witch.
What was that one last line? The one liner that Dorothy finally said after beating the witch or whatever. Oh yeah.
No, it wasn't Dorothy. It was Charlie.
Oh.
Yeah. She finally kills the witch. Charlie did. And they, spoiler, but this is last week's episode, so you should have seen it. She kills the Wicked Witch, and then Sam and Dean come in, and after she's already killed the witch, and she's holding the key to Oz, and she goes, "Ding dong, bitches." I thought that was the funniest line. So, but. On the preview of next week's show, they're going to somehow mind meld Dean with a dog. And it says takes on some of the aspects. So he's hanging his head out the door and he's barking at the mailman.
Or, no, he's
you,
not.
Barking. You,
yeah.
You.
He's like, you, get away from this house.
You,
go.
You. So, yeah, that's funny. So that ought to be a good fun. Again, that's what I like about Supernatural is sure they have these...
Spooky,
scary, and supernatural-based episodes, but at the same time, they'll throw in every once in a while a good comedy-type episode. I mean, like, there's the one where...
Dean's scared of a cat.
Dean's scared... That was hilarious.
Which is kind of ironic, considering now he's going to be morphed into a dog.
Dog, yeah. Maybe that makes it makes more sense now. But then there's one where Sam... Dean is constantly dying.
Dean's always the funny one, I mean...
Then there's one where they found themselves in that they were actually actors portraying Sam and Dean Winchester.
Like, it was Breaking the Fourth Wall episode.
Yeah. He goes, apparently I'm some guy named Jensen Ackles. So,
and then, wait, Sam says, I'm Jared Padalecki? And then Dean's like, I didn't know you were Polish.
Yeah. So, again, they do those comedy episodes, and I think this one's coming up is going to be one. But they still throw in, you know, it's still a good, serious show. And, again, they got the whole thing where Sam has got an angel living inside him, healing him. So that's, again, they always have a good storyline through that whole season. So, again, that's a good episode. Arrow, I have yet to watch the latest episode, but they got the Black Canary introduced. So that's going to be continuing into something good. Let's see here. For some reason, Disney XD has not shown the Deadpool episode.
Oh, not yet.
I'm surprised. I mean, they did the, what was the last one where Sandman The last one shown on Disney was when Sandman, they're trying to make him into a good guy, which I think it'd be kind of cool, and they tried to, and it was like one of those heartwarming stories where Peter Parker tries. But anyway, but he's...
Spoilers, he fails.
Yeah, he fails. Let's see, what else was TV-wise? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was a rerun last week. They showed the pilot episode again, so that was good. I didn't catch Tomorrow People last week, but I'm kind of losing interest in it. They got a good idea going, but I don't. The stories, the writers aren't keeping me attracted. Let's see, what else did we watch last week? That's about it.
Wait, did we watch the Comic Book Man this week?
Oh yeah,
we got a podcast about a TV show about podcasting.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, they the Mike Zapsik. I mean, I listen to their podcast. Yeah. By the way, if you ever listen to Comic Book Men, no, actually, I Sell Comics is the name of their podcast on
about Spotify. Hollywood Babylon.
That's the Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman one. Oh. But yeah, but they and that which is funnier than that's one of the best things. Actually, that's one of the reasons I started podcasting and listen to that. It's like I could do that. Not quite as funny as those guys, but I have something I want to talk about. But anyway, I Sell Comics, Mike Zapsik, they talked about this last year when Hurricane Sandy hit.
Oh, yeah.
He had his collection destroyed. And on the Comic Book Man episode, they got George Perez,
I don't know who that is.
He's a... Oh, what? He's an artist for, well, several comics, not just Marvel, but also DC. And one of Mike's favorite heroes is Wonder Man.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
But as the old Wonder Man, and so they had George Perez actually do original artwork for him, and it's funny whenever George Perez walked in and was presenting the artwork, Mike goes, "Holy crap, you're George Perez!" Or actually, like Mike says it, "You're George Perez." So that's kind of a heartwarming episode. You know, he lost. I mean, think about it though. Think of all my comics in there. If they got washed away by a hurricane or a flood,
well,
or
you have plastic protecting.
He did too, I'm sure. It's still like 100% safe. And he'd been collecting since he was young. Like, actually, I think he started when you're your age, around 13 years old. So, yeah, he'd been collecting for a while, and he had some rarities. I mean, they were talking about some issues. He wasn't going to be able to find them for less than $3,500. And so
he's old,
and so it's, you know, that would be devastating. And so, and one of the things on the podcast and on the show, they kind of hinted on Comic Book Men. They hinted on the fact that he was more interested in raising money to help people do this rather than himself. He says, "Hey, it's just stuff. Our family survives." So that's kind of nice about that. But he's still getting his collection built back up. Hey, after all, he works in a comic book store.
Last time on the most heartwarming episode of yeah. Comic Book Men.
Speaking of heartwarming episodes, Walking Dead.
Oh, is that tomorrow?
It's tomorrow, we're going to see it, but we saw the last week, so we haven't talked about it yet. Very, very cool episode.
I forgot, what episode was that about?
That was the one where at the end, where Daryl and them, Daryl and Michonne and Tyrese.
Oh yeah,
found a horde of zombies when they're going out looking for medical supplies because they got some kind of flu going around. And they were a horde. I'm talking hundreds of thousands at least. The way I'm liking this new season of Walking Dead, there are more zombies than they've ever been,
and they're revamped zombies. But back to where they saw the horde, like you could tell it was more than just like a horde.
Yeah,
it basically like panned kind of over their car, so you could see the entire landscape, and it was like, I would say no less than 150 acres, maybe.
Oh gosh, yeah, it was a huge, and that's what made it really cool. Was that. And so yeah, and they had to abandon their super hot. Was that a Charger? I think, I don't know. I'd have to ask my brother Russell because he's the
car maniac in this family.
Yeah, I would have to ask him what kind of car. I think it was a Charger. Might have been a Challenger, but either way, it was a Dodge, and it probably had a Hemi in it.
Charger and Charger's a zombie in Left 4 Dead too.
So we'll have to see what happens with that. That was left you hanging on the edge as to what's going to happen.
Yeah, it was funny. That was a preview for the week before's episode, and that's just like the last part
that's how
of the
they
episode.
Ended it. Yeah, it's like, whoa, that's going to be a cool episode, and then it's like at the very end, like, Oh, come on. But yeah, they got a virus running through the prison. So yeah, they've gone far enough away from the comic books to where it's their own story now. And I mean, they've done that since last season, really. But
they were just kind of like barely splitting apart.
Yeah, from the comic. But now they're separate. But it's still good because they're still telling a good story, which is it's the highest rated show on television, which makes it more awesome. So people love their zombies.
It's kind of been tinily splitting. That's a word, right?
Tinily, it is now.
but add ly to a word. Anyway, it's kind of been small splitting apart from the very start because Daryl was in it, and Daryl's not in the comics. And yeah. Merle, I guess. Yeah. No one cares about that guy.
So yeah, exactly. So. Well, I guess that's pretty much all we had to talk about. I just got to finish off a soda here, I'm sure. And we're going to get maybe with Brandon tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get with him sometime and let him talk about some comic books, because I know we need to get up to date on those, especially those lanterns, the red, green, and all the other colors they got going. So,
can I do the outro Stay Nerdy this time?
Well, you know, I guess since... you're becoming more and more a factor of this. I think it's going to have to. So I'll have to say, by the way, before we do, though, got a little contest for you folks. I've got copies of Roald Dahl audiobooks. Roald Dahl, he's the guy that wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and then Glass Elevator.
Glass Elevator, yeah.
Glass Elevator, also BFG and...
The Big Freaking Gun?
I don't know what... 9,000? I don't know what BFG... I haven't read that book yet. I'm going to have to listen to that. But I've got copies of... just about every Roald Dahl story ever created on audiobook form. And I've got those. Plus, I still have some copies of Peter Schmidt's Summer Hawk. It's a regular paperback book. Basically, you take Jim Butcher's Dresden Files and mix it in with Legends of King Arthur, and you've got Peter Schmidt's Summer Hawk, which is going to be... and Peter has guaranteed me... So I'm holding you to this, Peter. He's guaranteed me he's going to make a series out of this, because the first one is just awesome. Summerhawk. He's reincarnation of Lancelot, Sir Lancelot. So it's a very cool story. And if you want a copy of any of these, I'm just giving them out as prizes. All you got to do is tweet me, at Gil Wilson.
Don't tweet me, though, because I don't use my Twitter.
Yeah, he just uses it for his loot crate. At Gil Wilson, that's at GILWILSON. Tweet me, and you can be a winner of one of these books or audiobooks. Let me know just in the tweet which one you want, a Roald Dahl book or the Summerhawk, and I'll highly tell you that, or I'll highly recommend the Summerhawk book if you want to read something cool. Everybody knows Roald Dahl. I've got lots of those to give away. I've got lots of Charlie. Well, I got one copy of each book of his, but. Summerhawk, if you want something new and exciting and ready to be launched into the world, this is it. But anyway, just tweet me, at Gil Wilson, and let me know which one you want, your preference, and you're a winner, that simple. So, that's easy enough. So, I guess that does it for the podcast.
Stay nerdy, my friends. I don't always podcast, but when I do, it's on the Nerd Up podcast. Nerd Up!
www.gilwilson.com. If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out
www.gilwilson.com.
GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.